Andy Menard, Deputy Governor of Budget and Economy. Andy, morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tom.
You know, we talk about revenue projections, and I mean, how many times have you and I said, well, you know, you've said to me, budgets are a living thing. They move, right? Although it seems like these revenue figures have been moving a lot, like they are really skittish and highly caffeinated.
That I haven't heard those two adjectives to describe revenues, but I think those are two good ones. We do talk all the time, Tom, about how estimates are exactly that. They're estimates. The challenge today we have is that economic indicators are all over the board. I mean, you talk about this on the show. Everyone reads about it. Consumer sentiment is, you know, has dipped down to a historic low. The stock market, you know, had a terrible month in April, and, you know, now some things are starting to bounce back, but not where it used to be. Our employment numbers, excuse me, in Illinois are quite strong even today, despite the fact that neighboring states now are losing employment. So, you know, there's a mixed bag, which is very different than when the governor introduced his budget back in February. So, the revised revenue numbers that our Office of Management and Budget put out on Monday reflect that upheaval that we're seeing in economic data.
$536 million.
Yes, that's and you know, I would say that's a combination of several things, and a reflection of several things. The loss of federal funds, for example, because of cuts that the Trump administration is enacting that directly impacted states' general fund. You know, that's outside of, you know, for example, things that go directly to school districts or non-for-profits or universities. So that's one factor, is loss of federal funds because of federal cuts that are being done outside of the Congress. It's a reflection, as we just talked about, of economic data. But the biggest number that we're watching is that sales tax number, because that impacts state government so much. And I think proportionally impacts local governments even more. And that number is fluctuating because of consumer confidence dipping fairly dramatically in the last couple of months.
When I try to look at your job and try to big picture, tell me if I'm right, there's two things that would be on my mind. One, the governor, and I think, you know, when you look at how many times on this program people have said once a benefit is created, it can never be stopped. Two programs, health benefits for immigrant seniors and health benefits for immigrant adults. Those two programs canned by the governor, and of course the concerns there about hospitals, how those bills will be paid if the state's not helping out. And then you've got Chicago looking at you for some money too. You've got a couple of hot potatoes just there that have the potential to make a big difference in the outcome of the budget.
Well, there's if you peel back the layers and go into the details of the governor's budget proposal from February, there's any number of programs that some of which that, you know, are near and dear to him that he proposed reducing simply because in years like this, we have to take, as we always have as an administration, a conservative approach to budgeting, especially this year because of, again, the haphazard nature of what's happening to the economy in the country. So that's why you see for the HBIA program, you know, the healthcare program for immigrants in the state, and you would see that's a big one, obviously, because it's a big number. But you will also see other things in the budget that the governor proposed being reduced. And that's just as a, again, simply a reflection of the challenge that we face. And it's the governor taking the responsible and disciplined approach to budget making at the state level, which is what he's done every year since he's been in office.
Now, when it comes to an issue that you and I have been talking about, Jackson County property taxes, $6.2 million refunded to the Grand Tower Power plant there. From property taxes there, and, you know, an ongoing effort to be able to find relief. Now, I spoke to Senator Fowler and Paul Jacobs, the state representative, both this week, and they say legislation has been pinned. You said that was the way to go. They've done it. What's the prospects?
So that, you know, that's a legislative process that is done independent of our office, and there's any number of bills that are moving some quickly, some not so quickly through the legislative process that have a budget impact. This is not the only one. But, you know, you mentioned a few moments ago, Tom, that the Mayor Johnson with the city of Chicago has, you know, recently been to Springfield asking for assistance with the city's budget. This would be the same. This would be akin to what Mayor Johnson is asking for. You know, in terms of the city of Chicago's budget, this is a very similar type of request for, you know, for a community on the opposite end of the state. So what we've done is we've taken all of these requests, and the governor takes all of them in. And the first response is whatever the legislature does and whatever it decides ultimately to spend money on, it has to be part of a balanced budget scenario. And in this year, because of economics and things we talked about, it's going to be harder to do those things. So I think it was a good move to, you know, to get a bill moving to address the situation. There's any number of bills like this that are very specific in nature for some very specific set of circumstances that are happening in communities across the state. They have price tags attached to them, and ultimately the next step would be making sure that it can fit in within the framework of a balanced budget.
Here's a question from someone. They didn't include their name, and they says they wanted to say, would you ask the deputy governor how much of the federal funding for the state has been cut due to J.B. Pritzker's noncompliance to the Trump administration?
Due to noncompliance, you know, I'm not aware of. First of all, that term means different things to different, you know, to different listeners. I'll try to maybe guess what the individual asking the question means, but so far we don't have any federal funds either that come to the state budget or, you know, come to other parts of spending buckets within the state budget that's not the general fund that have been withheld because of non-compliance. There's obviously lawsuits that are happening right now. Those have been covered by the media. The outcome of most of those suits, I think, if not all of them, you know, we haven't seen the outcome of those yet. So, you know, we obviously are monitoring that closely because it has such an impact. But right now, what we're watching the most is Medicaid, because so much of our healthcare system in the state, even for individuals who aren't on Medicaid, access to hospitals, access to specialty centers in rural areas, critical access hospitals, safety net hospitals in urban neighborhoods, relies on having a Medicaid system that can support a larger network of healthcare. So if Congress, if Congress proceeds with what we think they're going to proceed with, you know, the much larger question that we have to answer isn't what are we doing about, you know, Trump's orders coming from the Department of Justice and what that means for the state budget. Not unimportant, so don't get me wrong there, not unimportant, but the bigger, massive question that dwarfs that one is what are Republicans in Congress doing with Medicaid, and how is that going to impact access to health care for everyone? Because Medicaid supports the system we have. When you pull out a foundational corner of that system, it's going to impact even the people that aren't on Medicaid.
It's interesting because Medicaid argument, according to published reports yesterday, the major arguments within the Republican Party are a work component, which I think goes into effect 2029 or something like that, and more frequent eligibility checks. But when it came to benefits, I didn't see that mentioned in that at all. Now, here's the thing. Here's a note that just came from Harrisburg Mayor John McPeak saying, I want to express my sincere gratitude to Andy and the governor's office for the support. We truly appreciate your attention, especially as we sometimes feel overlooked here in Southeast Illinois. And thank you for being there. That's from Harrisburg Mayor John McPeak. Before I let you go, Andy, I've been working on a project. I've been talking to CEOs of healthcare systems in Southern Illinois. And you've got these two immigrant healthcare components that are being pushed off the budget. So, but those people still here, and they're still going to go to the hospital, and the hospitals are still required to treat them. What position will that leave those hospitals in?
Well, that, I mean, I think right there inherently is the foundational reason why the program was created in the first place, is because the cost of that care has to be borne and covered by someone. So, any number of conversations are happening today, because that is a reality, Tom, right? It is. And whether you agree with the program or disagree with the program, the reality is that cost is in the system. So, you know, there may be some avenue to offering further support to free clinics, for example, you know, which we have a robust system in the state because we haven't done major cuts, and because we took the step of doing the Medicaid expansion years ago, you know, so that might be one avenue. And you know, I would just tell you today, with just a couple weeks of session left, the question that you just posed is a major question that we have to have a solution to, because even if the programs go away, the care for children, the care for elderly and seniors, you know, that's a real thing, especially for children. And you know, that needs a solution, and we're working on that right now, because what we don't want is for hospitals to have to essentially eat that cost, because that's not going to be good for anyone that wants to continue to seek access at their local hospital or any clinic throughout the state.
I wish we had more time, Andy, but I got to go, buddy. I'm really sorry. Because are you going to be here today with the governor?
I am not. I'm actually in Springfield. My plan was to be with him today. He's looking forward to the visits. I'm not going to be with him because we have budget meetings.
Yeah, I figured you did. And probably more budget meetings followed by more budget meetings. Followed quickly by not sleeping and more budget meetings.
Right.
As I said, 2 weeks, as Andy mentioned, 7:34.